So I'm actually going to just talk a little bit about the power of blessing. You know, Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to the disciples a few times. Some people maybe at seven different times before he ascends into heaven. It says in Acts chapter 1 that he talked to them about the kingdom. And the kingdom is what? And I'm not going to go there. I just want to say to you, the kingdom is really manifested when you come into agreement with his will. So we pray, our Lord, Heavenly Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the question is, how do I access this kingdom? How do I access it? And of course, we access it through the word. But we also access it through prayer, the prophetic, and the blessing. It's amazing how the kingdom is manifested and released when there's blessing being released. How many knows that in Genesis chapter 1, when God created Adam and Eve, what did he do? He blessed them and said, do what? Multiply and take dominion. He blessed them. What did he do when he created Israel? He spoke to Moses, and Moses went to Aaron and said, Aaron, this is how you're to pray over Israel. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. His face shine on you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face on you, and the Lord give you peace. How many knows that's a blessing, my God? All the way through the Bible, God instituted the power of blessing. Jeremiah 29:11, this is a scripture that many people have memorized. And it says what? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Israel is in captivity. He's in captivity. And God speaks to them and says, I have a plan for you. It's not to harm you, but it's actually to prosper you. God's heart is for you to succeed. How many says that's a good plan? I'm really happy for that. That's actually his plan. And one of the ways that he instituted that plan so that we actually could succeed was the blessing. It was for mom and dad to take the child and speak blessing over that child. And so the Jews had a tradition of doing it every Friday night at Sabbath. They would sit down and the father would bless his children and bless his wife. And what is this blessing? It is actually proclaiming the identity and destiny of another person. It is seeing what God sees in that person and bringing it out, even though it may not be a reality at the moment. And that's where the challenge comes. When Jesus spoke to Peter and said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Peter was not a rock. He was a coward. I better not say that too loud because I think I would have been one too. He told them that he was going to be witnesses, that they were actually going to change the world. But at the moment when he said it, they were not at all there. But he still prophesied over them. So what is this blessing? Blessing is seeing what God sees and declaring it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, do not return evil for evil, but return evil with what? Blessing. So that, because this you were called, so that you may inherit a what? If I bless, I inherit a blessing. What you sow, is what you reap. Amen? There is power in blessing. It releases God's kingdom. I may say thank you, Jesus. So this message is not a new message to this church. It changed my life when I heard it first time. First times, it was in Sylvan Lake, and I heard the story about blessing and cursing. How many of you know that cursing is the opposite of blessing? It's actually wanting to harm someone. You wanted somebody to suffer. And often it comes because you have suffered. I'll say this. Somebody has hurt you or offended you, and you actually say things with your mouth that is like a curse. You're saying, they are real stupid. And sometimes swear words comes out. How many have ever done that? That's number one. Another thing I find is, in cursing, is you're trying to discipline your children. And you're trying to bring them up, and you're trying to get them to obey, and they don't obey. So you get frustrated. And in your frustration, you curse your child. The Bible says there's power in the tongue for life and death. Amen? So God instituted that we as parents or people in authority over children should bless our children so they become what God intended to be. When I heard that message, I was in Sylvan Lake, and it was a Friday night, and Paul, I'm picking on you again, Paul, was preaching for the first time in an internship in Winnipeg. And I said, so Janet, let's go and bless our son. So we drove and drove and drove. And finally we got to Winnipeg. And on the Sunday morning, where are you, Janet? There, in front of you. I asked the pastor if we could say a few words. And in front of the congregation that Sunday morning, we blessed our son. Do you remember that, Paul? Paul remembers it. It was only 2 minutes. I asked him after the internship, what was the most important moment in your internship? And he mentioned those 2 minutes. That's power and the blessing. How many have ever watched a movie called Can You Only Imagine? By Mercy Seat? I forget that. Mercy Me. Okay. Just look at the right people and I get the... What's the guy's name, Paul? Art Millett? If you remember the story, it's a true story. His career could not take off. It couldn't get going. And even though the best people heard him sing and play, he couldn't get his thing going. It was like, you're not genuine. And he realized there was an issue with his father. And he came home, and he wasn't ready to forgive his father because his mom has left and his father was abusive. And his father has cursed him over and over in his young life. Slapped him on the head, you stupid boy. And he didn't want to go home, but he needed to reconcile with his father because somehow he knew there was something missing in his life if he was going to go on what God has called him to. And he's a Christian, but there was still an issue with his father. He went home, and his father had changed. And his father reaches out to his son, and it took a while before his son really could trust his father, if you remember the story. But in the end, the father blesses his son. And he writes the song called Mercy Me. I can only imagine. Thanks for helping me out. His success started when the blessings was released. Amen. I asked Buddy if you would come up and just share a couple of minutes on what happened, because Bud heard this message too. Through Ancient Path.
Good morning. I'm trying to enter the new generation here. So, I was praying this morning and sharing with Cheryl, and I remembered something from kids, and I'm sure you've all heard it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And you know what? That's the lie that the enemy wants us to believe. Because sticks and stones will break our bones, but bones heal. But words will never hurt me. Words go straight to the heart. They can absolutely destroy a life. And God says it much better than I do. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:4. And another version says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. And my parents were divorced when I was about 9, and my father remarried, and I chose to live with my father. And the movie, I can only imagine, really struck close to home for me. My father and I had a very awkward relationship. I left home when I was 15. I was living on the streets of Calgary for a while, and you know, we have a faithful God. Even when we don't know God, He's there, and He intervened in my life, thankfully, through the prayers of a lot of people, I'm sure, and brought me into a new home with my mother and stepfather. And this is about the blessing, and I was fortunate to receive blessings from my stepfather. You know, when many times in our lives when God's plan for us isn't going the way He wants, because somebody, ourselves, our parents, or whatever, maybe don't understand or don't know or don't accept, God has a way of bringing somebody else in. And while my relationship with my biological father was it was no relationship. I'd left. I hadn't talked to him. And that went many years. But God brought a stepfather into my life. And that's a powerful position. And it's a blessing, because a stepfather is a man who chooses to make you part of his family. And that's a powerful, powerful message to give to any child. He didn't have to be my father. He made that choice. But life goes on, and I met my wife, and we got married and had children. And just prior to the birth of our first child, our daughter, I was visiting with my stepsister, and my father showed up, my biological father. And I hadn't seen him for about 6 or 7 years. And as usual, things deteriorated very quickly. And the last thing my father said to me was, you will never amount to anything. And I laughed, and I said, then I'll still be twice as good as you are. And I left, and it didn't bother me. I mean, it's just words, right? For probably the next 30 years, I struggled with that. Didn't know it, but my heart certainly knew it. And I strived for perfection. I tried to be the best at everything I did, and failed miserably. I was okay. I was a good father. I wasn't a perfect father. I was a good husband. I wasn't a perfect husband, but who is, right? But I always felt like I didn't measure up. I wasn't good enough. I was a failure. And again, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need. And so he brought a couple into this church with a seminar. At that time, it was called Ancient Past Level 1. It's since been broken down into a couple seminars. And the first one is called the Blessing Seminar, Blessing Generations. And my wife, being the astute, intelligent, beautiful lady that she is, grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and drug me to that seminar. I didn't need to go, but, you know, I went to keep her happy. I mean, nothing wrong with me. The Lord absolutely destroyed me that weekend. I was literally, I don't think I've ever bawled that hard. And again, he brought somebody into my life. Charles and Marion, who were the facilitators, and they spoke a blessing over me that was so powerful. And I'm sorry, Hats, this might go longer than you thought, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is to be willing and open. God intended, as Hans mentioned in the start, for our parents to speak a blessing over us. As a Christian community, we've really lost that. We've really lost that. And thankfully, there's seminars, there's pastors who have caught on to this and are really pushing this message home. And I knew after that seminar that I needed reconciliation with my father. And I struggled with that because I carried a huge amount of bitterness and anger towards him. I wanted absolutely nothing to do with him. It was about, I don't know, 30 some years since I'd seen him, had anything to do with him. I knew where he was through one of my cousins, and I struggled and I fought it, and the Lord just kept telling me. And I kept saying, nope, don't want nothing to do with him. I don't need him. And my wife, again, being the wise, intelligent, beautiful lady that she is, pushed and pushed and pushed until finally I said, fine, I'll call so he can apologize to me. You know, it's funny. The Lord really does know what we need, because I didn't need him to apologize to me. I needed to break down and apologize to him for the things I'd done, because I'm this perfect person in front of you, I was far from it, as I still am. And I was a rotten kid, and I recognized that. So I made the phone call, and it's a whole story in itself. But I traveled to Calgary to visit my father and stepmother, we had a nice visit. And at the end, I asked if they would forgive me for the things I'd done, and it was pretty powerful. And my father said, "Absolutely. I mean, I love you, but you forgive me." And I said, yes, I forgive you. And so we had a good visit, and so it was time to go home. Cheryl and I left, and we were driving home. And as we're driving in the car, I said, you know, it was good. I needed that. But he never took the words back. He never said to forgive me for the words I said. He never blessed me. I said, no, that was good. That's okay. But God knows. God knows what we need. He knows what I needed. So we drove home. I don't think we were home 5 minutes. Maybe, I don't know. Didn't seem like very long anyway. And the phone rang. and was my father. And he said, Bud, he said, I love you. He said, and I really feel I need to tell you how proud I am of you. And what a wonderful husband, father, and man you've become. And I'm so sorry for those words I spoke to you. It broke me. Just, at the same time, I just felt so free. Thank you, Lord. So, be open, because God's going to bring people into your life. If you can't, if there's, I mean, parents pass on, and be open to other people to speak that blessing, because there's always, God will bring somebody. God will. And I know Pastor Hans will have an altar call at the end of this service. And if God puts it on your heart, come forward, because somebody will speak the blessing over you. Thank you.
I remember when my daughter went to university the first day, and she was anxious, not sure what she was doing. And I remember Jan and I said, let's bless her. Remember that, Jan? Do you know? And we wrote a blessing so she could read it and gave it to her. There's power in the tongue of life and death. I was I was listening to John Kilpatrick. If you don't know who he is, he was the pastor of a revival that broke out in Pensacola in the 90s. And I was there. They had lineups of thousands of people lined up at 7 o'clock in the morning to get in at 7 at night. In the heat of the day, they stood and waited. And hundreds of thousands of people got saved. But I wanted to listen to him. And he talked about what happened before the revival, 4 years before. And he said a revival broke out in his home. And this is what God showed him. He showed him that he needed to reverse the curse, first of all, that he had spoken over his own family. And he gave us three steps. The three steps are repent, renounce, and revoke. So I'm just going to do this quickly. He called his two sons and his wife, and he says to his oldest son, son, would you forgive me for anything I have done that hinders you from being the man that you need to be? And he said, well, you've been a good father. He said, no, I have not been always a good father. There's things I have said at times that has hindered your growth and maturity and confidence. Would you forgive me for that? And he said, yeah, no problem, Dad. And he said, the second thing he did is, he said, okay, now I'm going to tell you what I should have said. That's renouncing it, okay? I'm going to tell your son what I should have said many years ago. And then he begins to prophesy. He begins to say, this is my son. I love your son. And this is what I see God is doing in you. This is what I see deposited in you. And he began to speak it into him. And finally, he revokes it. So he takes authority. He says, in the name of Jesus, I break the back of every curse words I have ever spoken. I cast them on the ground, never to impact you again, ever. And then he put his hand on his son, and the Spirit of God touched his son. He did it to his next son, and then he took it to his wife, did the same thing, asked for forgiveness. When I heard this, I thought, I'm going to do that too. So I went to my wife. I said, would you forgive me for any words I've spoken that may have hindered you to being the person that you need to be? And so she said, forgive me, praise God. And then I did the same thing. I want to say over you, honey, what I see. And I should have said years ago. So I blessed her. And what I see in her, I called her forth. And then after that, I did the same prayer. I revoke every word that I had spoken that had hindered her, touched her, hindered her in being the person she needed to be. And I command those, the back of those words to be broken. I throw them on the floor, and never again to have power over my wife. And I said, so it's just something I said. And she said, yes, that was. That was something I said. Which often there is. Right? And so she mentioned some things that I had said. That I had no idea it had that kind of impact on her. Many times, my friends, the things we say that may have a negative impact, we have no idea. We don't necessarily consciously want to hurt our wife or spouse or child. But nonetheless, what we said in anger or what we said, you know, just in our selfishness, can have that impact of stunting a person's growth and maturity, because we have that power. Remember? So when she recognized, when she mentioned it, I actually asked for forgiveness. I believe that Jen is no longer going to have that cloud over her in that area of her life. There is power, my friends. I won't talk about today, but there is including very much power when you have somebody in your life who truly has hurt you deeply. But when you ask God to help you bless that person, there is power in that as well. It's tough, but there is. I wanted to just end it with a testimony that I also, Jen and I, we did together when we were, my mother never grew up in a Christian home, never had heard about Jesus really in any sensible way until I got saved. I wanted her to learn Jesus. I wanted her to know it. I put my Bible down and said, Mom, open the Bible. And she said, whew, I want to hear what you have to say. I mean, it's the relatives like that. They didn't want to hear from you. When they see you coming, they run. So it didn't work. But one day, Jan and I were there visiting in Denmark. And we were coming to the end of our holiday. And Jenna said to me, why don't we bless your mom? That's a good idea. So we found some cards, 4x4 cards, recipe cards. And we wrote blessings on every one of them and a scripture. And we found 10 of them. And we hid them in the, wherever she would go, like in among the dishes, on her pillow, in the bathroom, in her clothes closet, anywhere where she knew where she was going to walk in the next week or so. And then we said, goodbye, Mom. We know she was going to be lonely. I got a phone call 3 days later. I found the cards. I said, how many do you find? I found all 10 of them. And she said, it has touched my heart. From that day, she started going to church. I could not reach her with my preaching. I couldn't reach her with my knowledge. But I could reach her with the blessing. And every time I go back there to visit her, I've done it at least 3 times since. I do the same. Amen. Can I have the worship team come? I'll continue this message next Sunday. There is more.